This morning I want to speak on that marvelous, marvelous scripture, until the day break and the shadows flee away. Add that to your orchid or to your bouquet, add that orchid, until the day break and the shadows flee away. One of the most amazing scriptures from the beautiful little book called the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 17. And I want to speak this morning on the subject, until the day break. Our Heavenly Father, oh my, it is not an unusual thing for me to preach. I began the week preaching and I ended the week preaching. And I began again preaching now, and I preach many times this week. It is not an unusual thing. But it's always an exciting thing for me. It's one thing that never grows stale, never grows old. One thing to which I never get adjusted. It's always a thrill. And I pray this morning as I speak and as my people listen that the word of God should be unusually sweet to our hearts and strengthening to our soul. Amen. I had preached Friday night on the banks of the Hudson River at the foothills of the Adirondack Mountains. I'd gone back to a little downtown old type hotel, the type that we all used to know because that's about all we had. Before the days of motels, every town had a big, rather nice old hotel downtown, the kind that in which I hardly ever stay. The room was large and everything was different. The fixtures in the bathroom were different, very, very beautiful, and old type, exquisite, refurbished hotel. Now I'm a good sleeper. I normally find sleep very, very easy, as many of you are now. But sleep did not come easy for me Friday night, for I had many of you on my mind. I was doing what I could to help carry your burdens on my shoulders and trying to think of you and praying for you. And finally, sometime well past midnight, sleep overtook me. But I escaped it after just a brief moment of sleep. And at 3:45, I was up again. I did not need to be up, for I was not to leave until 5 o'clock to go catch my plane about an hour's drive away. But my heart was thinking, or my mind was thinking, about many of your burdens, many of your pains, numbers of you who have cancer, numbers of you who have children who have leukemia, numbers of you who have serious heart trouble. I was thinking about Brother Sully for a little while, and others of you. And as I was driven to the airport, I continued in somewhat maybe of, I would not say melancholy, but at least a quiet, reflective mood. I waited 30 minutes at the airport before I boarded the plane. It was a stormy kind of a day. A front was just coming in. You could see it. It was just arriving. The cold winds, they were predicting winds, 30-mile winds with gusts up to 45 and 50 miles an hour. And the plane was taking off into that front, and I saw those clouds, billowy clouds, rolling like the waves of the sea as they prepared to attack. And the plane took off, and I suddenly felt the plane shake like someone had taken it and shake a bottle of medicine. And we had a steep ascent, and then it shook some more, and then right into that front the plane came. There was a lady, an elderly lady, sitting on the plane not far from me, and she became frightened. And she said, "Is it going to be like this all the way to Chicago?" And I said, "No, ma'am." I said, "In just a few minutes, the clouds will leave, and you'll rise above them, and you'll see one of the most beautiful sights you've ever seen." And sure enough, as the plane seemed to tremble as if it was afraid of the front, as it went through the front, and as palsy set in the body of the plane, soon the nose lifted through the clouds. And there was the sunshine, as I've seen it so many times. And we were looking down. And the lady quit being worried so much, and she looked down and she said, "That's the most beautiful sight I ever saw." Immediately I turned to Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 17. I knew something she didn't know. I knew the clouds would not be with us to stay. For I knew that I was in a machine that was going to raise us above the clouds. And we had some apprehension and some discomfort, as she did, and others who were not seasoned flyers did, as they went through the clouds. But I said it'll only be this way until. And I read the scripture, until the daybreak and the shadows flee away. To many, especially the young, life has been all sunlight. For you, it has been a constant noontime. Laughter has been your constant companion. But ladies and gentlemen, if the sun has not gone behind the clouds for you, it will. And if all has been noonday for you, it will someday be midnight. And if laughter has been your constant companion, you will soon be introduced to sorrow and tears. And you will know what it is to be in the midnight. Your shadows will fall. Your clouds will gather. Your storms will hurl their cold winds your way. And your smile will someday turn to tears. The doctor will bow his head and try to restrain the tears. The test will bring bad news, or the rumor will be spread that'll break your heart, or the child will not be normal, or the boy will go astray, or the girl will break your heart, or the company will close your plant, or you'll be felled by an untimely stroke, or you will follow the hearse to death's silent city, or you will find your child has leukemia, or you will live your first day without a mother or without a father, or your vision will become blurred and the doctor will x-ray to give the news that you have a tumor somewhere on or near the brain. Or a serious car accident will leave an empty seat at your table, an empty place at your bed. Or your house will burn, and your child will be in it, and his or her life will be taken. Or you must drop out of school because of finances. Or you will be laid off for a while. Or your parents will divorce. Or a friend will turn on you. The rain falleth, ladies and gentlemen, on the just and on the unjust. You will sit outside the intensive care unit someday. And you will greet people who come by the funeral home to look at the remains of your loved one, to wipe your tears and shake your hand and comfort you with their words. It will happen. It may be that you've never lived a cloudy day, but you will. It may be that you've never known a midnight, but at midnight you will know. It may be that you've never seen the shadows, but the shadows you will see. It may be that you're frolicking with good health, but soon you'll be stumbling with palsied bad health. It may mean that you're tiptoeing and dancing gaily across the meadow, but soon you'll be back inside as a shut hen or ill, or perhaps this morning, as is the case in many of your lives. You this morning dwell beneath one of those clouds. To you, the wise man says, and I love this, I love it, I love it, I love it, until the daybreak. Until the daybreak. Ladies and gentlemen, that means the day will break. That means daybreak is going to come.
And as sure as there is a midnight, there is a daybreak. And as sure as there is a nighttime, there is coming a daytime. And as sure as the sun sets in the western skies, it'll rise in the eastern horizon until the daybreak. You say, Brother Hiles, how do you take the midnight? You stop to realize that daybreak is going to come, that the sun is going to rise, that the shadows are going to flee away. And one day, your clouds, just like the old plane yesterday morning, your clouds that now engulf you and encompass you, one day, if you keep your faith in God, one day you'll find that Jesus shall raise you above the clouds, and the daybreak will come, and the sun once again shall shine upon you until the daybreak. Praise God, the daybreak is coming. If you today are at midnight, have faith, the daybreak is going to come. I've been thinking a great deal about the word faith lately. That marvelous word. Faith is the heart of the mind. Faith is the wire that connects man to grace. Faith is the soul going farther than it can see. Faith is the ear of the soul. Faith is the fuse of life. Faith marches at the head of the army of progress. Faith goes up the stairway made by love. Faith is the flower that comes before the fruit. It is the antiseptic of the soul. It is the eyes that see the unseen and the ears that hear the unspoken. Faith gazes through windows opened by hope. I'm simply saying this morning, if you are in the clouds and if you are in the shadows and if it is your midnight, oh, get this scripture in Song of Solomon 2:17, until the daybreak. And the shadows flee away. And the day will break. And the shadows will flee away. I sang on the plane, not where I could be heard, except maybe the stewardess heard as she came by one time. But I sang as the plane lifted through those clouds. I sang that song, some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles all won. He'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden daybreak for me, for you, but you say, Brother Hiles, it's so dark right now, I can't see my hand in front of my face. It's so cloudy right now, it's all soupy, and I cannot see the way. How I'm going to pay my bills next month, I do not know. How I'm going to have money for Christmas, I do not know. How I can bear it with my husband dying with cancer, I do not know. How I can take it looking at my little child who has leukemia, wondering if this is the last Christmas we'll ever have with a child, I don't know. Oh, let me tell you, there's going to come a daybreak, and one day you'll go through the clouds and you'll see that God in His glory has prepared for you the brightness of heaven. And may I say this, you've never seen the sun beautiful until you've seen the sun shining on clouds. You never have. The Bible says, and I love so many things in the Bible like this. The Bible says, joy cometh in the morning. Joy cometh in the morning. Again, it says, sorrow and sighing will flee away. Hear me for a few minutes. There are no permanent midnights for God's children. Hear me again. Darkness for the child of God is always only temporary. Hear me again. The whale will not always be your dwelling place. The juniper tree will not always be your shade. The ash heap will not always be your sofa. Babylon will not forever be your home. Patmos is not your final abode. Saul will not always pursue you. Gethsemane will pass away. Your Calvary will soon become an empty tomb. Keep looking toward the east. Daybreak is coming. No, but you say when? It's coming. It always comes, following the darkest part of the night. Ah, how many times I've been flying across the country at daybreak. And I've looked through the nighttime. You can't see where you are. You don't know where you are. And all of a sudden, as you're up in the plane, you look out over toward the east, and that first little reddening of the horizon, how beautiful. And all of a sudden, the sun decides it wants to play peekaboo with you, and it looks up over at you, and you dodge down and play peekaboo with the sun. And all of a sudden, the gorgeous rays of all of God's color scheme put together shine across the skies and the sun does rise. And let me say, ladies and gentlemen, let me say to you, the sun will rise if you're a child of God and daybreak will come. But you say, preacher, what if I don't make it? Then you'll have a new daybreak. Oh, let me tell you, heaven is not near as bad as we make it out to be.
Oh, she died. She died.
Fool you on that. She died. She went to heaven. She's with Jesus. The daybreak. And by the way, there are no clouds. We used to sing when I was a boy. I can't sing it. I want to sing so bad. I've been trying to. Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the clouds. Oh, they tell me of a land far away. Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the clouds. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, the land of the cloudless day. Oh, the land of the unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Thanks be to God, the Christian knows no permanent midnights. Thanks be to God, the Christian knows no permanent shadows. Thanks be to... I was thinking this week, early in the week, about some of our deacons who are not well. And my mind dwelt on Glenn Smith. And I wonder sometimes how he can stay so cheerful. And Iva May, always smiling, always smiling. And I was thinking about others of our people. Jack Belby still laughs every time you see him. And I thought about Jack this year. Jack has always been Santa Claus. And during Christmas time, he made it a hobby. He'd just go from place to place and party to party being Santa Claus. And when our kids were little, Jack would come over to the house, and he'd always come on Christmas Eve night, and he'd come in, and I can see Becky's eyes, and I can see Dad sucking his thumb like that, looking at Santa Claus and Linda and Cindy. And the other day, Cindy said something about it, and we're talking about Jack Belby and the fact that this Christmas he won't be Santa Claus. But you never hear a complaint out of him. I'll tell you why. There are no permanent midnights to the child of God. There are no clouds that stay. We are a part of a great movement that is not traveling in the clouds. We're traveling through the clouds. And someday we'll burst through the clouds and the sun will shine and the golden daybreak of God will be ours. But now the question is, what to do till daybreak? What do you do until daybreak? You say, preacher, I know daybreak is coming, but it's so tough at midnight. Oh, back when I had smaller churches, and sometimes I wish I could relive some of those days. Every time anybody was bad sick in the hospital, I've stayed up all night with people bad sick in the hospital. That's back before I had $10 million a year to raise, and all the counseling, and all the organizations, and all the corporations here, and so forth. But I can those early days, I can remember when folks would sit beside little children who were hanging between life and death, and men, great big strong men, would hug me and say, preacher, if it were just daylight, if it were just daylight. It's so hard in the nighttime, and the morning has come. But what do you do until the shadows flee away, until the daybreak? May I give you two or three things quickly. First is, you don't move. You don't move. If it's the dark, you can't see where to go, then you don't go. You don't move. It's tragic, but sad. Most decisions we make are made in the darkness. We get a little backslidden and make a decision that will affect our lives. We get discouraged in the darkness, make a decision. If you can't see where to go, stand still. If you're in the darkness, don't move. What else to do till daybreak? Keep your light shining. Do what you've been doing. Keep your light shining. Listen, folks, the darker the night. I mentioned Iva May Smith's smile a while ago. The darker the night has been, the brighter the smile has been. And the darker the night, like a little boy one time had a flashlight, and it was late at night, and the moon was not bright, and it was dark, and the little boy had his flashlight turned on and off. And his mother or father one came and said, son, what are you doing? And he said, Mama, I'm making holes in the darkness. I'm making holes in the darkness. And that's what I've tried to do for 20 years in this old dark, darkened area.
I've tried to make holes in the darkness. And that's our job.
In the darkness, make holes in it. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works.
And when out of the darkness comes a warm, friendly smile, or out of the darkness of a stroke comes Jack Belvis, old laugh that we used to love to hear so much when he was here. When out of the darkness there comes a God is able. I remember when I went to the hospital, when Deacon Gifford was dying. I say he was sick unto death. We didn't know what he had. And they just found out that he had cancer, and I had not talked to him since. And I went to St. Margaret's Hospital, and I was afraid to know what to say. He knew he had cancer. He had not seen me since he had it. And I tried to think, what will I say first? And I walked in the darkness and the glum of that room, and Deacon Gifford turned on his light as he said, before I could say a word, he said, never mind, preacher, don't worry. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Ah, when you let your light shine, and the darker the night, the brighter the light, and the more sinful the area, the brighter the light. And that's why God has placed this old church on this corner for over 90 years. Why? Knock holes in the darkness of this old area. That's why. The blind man was walking down the trail one night carrying his lantern. And somebody walked up and said, man, you're wasting oil. Why are you carrying a lantern? You can't see. He said, I'm carrying a lantern so folks won't stumble over me. So folks won't stumble over me. Until the daybreak. Don't move until the daybreak. Keep your light shining. Until the daybreak, stay close to the guide. Stay close to the guide. Oh, I could not help but rejoice yesterday morning as I do so often. And I told this lady this. I said, lady, she said, is it going to be this bad coming down? And I said, yes, ma'am. I said, in Chicago, too. There'll probably be 40 or 50 planes up there going around all at the same time, just in the soup. And she said, we going to hit it? You're going to hit one of them? And I said, we don't have plans to. It's not a part of the schedule. And she said, well, what's going to happen? And I said, lady, I said, there are three men up there in the front of this plane, and they're in contact with a tower in Chicago. And that tower has a radar unit. And that unit's going to guide, those men are going to be in contact, and that unit's going to guide us through the storms and down to home and loved ones and safety. I said, the tower, there's somebody in the tower, the three men up there. And this morning, may I say to those of you who are living at midnight and flying in cloudy, soupy weather, may I say to you that there are three in the front of our plane, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And there's one in the tower that'll guide us through the storm and guide us safely. Stay close to him. Out in Carlsbad Cavern many years ago, you folks have been there. I never have. I've been to Carlsbad, flown over the town, never had time to go to the caverns. But out years ago, they had a tour going through Carlsbad Cavern, and a man was there with his little daughter. And they get down to the bottom of the caverns and turn the lights out. How many have ever seen that? They turn the lights out in the cavern. They say you literally cannot see your hand in front of your face. And they turn the lights out and nobody could see a thing. And the little girl said, Daddy, squeeze my hand tighter. And he did. And she said, Daddy, she said, I'm scared. And the daddy said, sweetheart, there's a guide who knows how and when to turn the lights back on. And there's a guide that knows how and when to turn your lights back on, too. And the shadows will flee away, and the daybreak will come. And then, may I say in closing, believe that the morning will come. Believe that the morning will come. Believe. You got to believe. I really have. You got to believe. You got to believe. You will find a job. You got to believe the plant will open again. You got to believe that the child will get well. You've got to believe that you live a normal lifespan. You've got to believe that all's going to be okay. You've got to believe that morning is going to come and the shadows will flee away and the day will break. 'Tis not a new story. 'Tis often told, but 'tis so sweet to me. A famous preacher, I think it was Dwight Moody, I'm not sure, but a famous preacher back in the days before you could fly across the ocean was on a great ship crossing the ocean for a preaching engagement. And an unbelievable storm came out on the sea. And the ship was tossed to and fro, and the water was lapping up on the deck of the ship, and the storm, the lightning and the thunder and the mighty winds were just caused that ship to shake on the sea, and folks were praying out loud and screaming for help and begging for mercy. And this famous preacher said there was a little girl just sitting over smiling, looking out at the storm. Just smiling. And everybody was looking at her because she was just smiling.
And folks were on their knees praying, but they couldn't stay on their knees. They got turned over, and furniture was being shattered and rolling up and down the deck, and nothing was staying normal, and the storm was raging, and everybody was crying for mercy.
The little girl just looked out at the storm and smiled. And finally, this famous preacher walked up, and he said, "Little girl, what's wrong with you?" She said, "Nothing."
He said, "But you're the only one not scared. I'm a preacher of the gospel. I'm scared. Why aren't you afraid?"
She looked at the storm. She smiled and looked back at him. And she says, "Sir, I'm not afraid, because my daddy is the captain of the ship. Fear not, little flock. Let not your heart be troubled. Our daddy is the captain of the ship. Until the morning comes, until the daybreak, and the shadows flee away, trust him. Trust him. He's the captain of the ship." Our Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that you'd be unusually close to our people. I pray this morning that you'd strengthen our people. Hundreds of our folks in this room this morning are in that plane. The front has come in. It's stormy. It's dark. Dear God, they can only remember the sunshine. They haven't seen it lately. Oh, thank you that the storm or the night will just last until the daybreak, and the shadows will flee away. And I pray you'd give us strength and faith and courage, because our daddy